Father, we thank you again for this day, and Lord, we thank you for those. There's so many. No one person can do it all. We need people, Lord, to be sold out to you and say, Lord, here am I, use me. My talent may be much, but I give it to you, and God will multiply it. And Lord, many things can happen until we get home on the other side. Now, we open this book again today. We're here. We invest our life to be. These people have to come here today. The greatest commodity they have is their life. That's their time. And Lord, I pray it not be wasted as we open this precious book. May we hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been in this book for a good while. We're looking at part 5 today. And we want to carry out, I've started out, God's love for us. There's a theme for this message. And because it so fascinated me, and I began to look into the Word of God and I studied this, I said I'm going to study it in depth and have a 4 or 5 points and take it Sunday after Sunday that we might cover many things that maybe we have could not cover and have to chop it up in messages over a period of time, just take a series of those. And of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read down about verse 17 where it says this. And before I read that, let me just give you quickly. We said God loves us. Why? Simply because God is love. We also know that I said that God Almighty potentially saw us hanging on the cross in Jesus Christ, and yet the cross is for the human race. But the human race will not receive Christ as Savior. That if they will not, they will not be saved. Therefore, potentially the whole world could be saved, but in reality, only those who trust and receive Jesus Christ as Savior will become a child of God. And then number 3, we said Paul described 2 heads of the human race. One is the Federation head of the physical race, and which is the human race, and that head is Adam himself. The other is the spiritual head of the spiritual race, the born-again child of God, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then last week we were looking at, through Jesus Christ, we become part of a new creation of humanity. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us. He says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now notice where one's to be. If any man be in Christ, this is when this happens. It doesn't happen outside of Christ. No one knows what to do outside of Christ. But he said, if any man be in Christ, notice he says, he is a new creature. Now, where are you a new creature? In Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, has no benefit here. Without Jesus Christ, one cannot be a new creature. And he said, if you are that new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Notice he said, and all things are of God. So God is involved with what he's doing. We also know in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about works that God created for the foundation of the world. And then he goes on and he says, that and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is to change, God has given us the ministry to preach the gospel that would change this world thoroughly for if we will allow it to go, God to work through us. And then he said that ministry is to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We said what Jesus has accomplished in his death and his resurrection becomes a reality simply by trusting him and receiving him as our personal Savior. And he tells in Colossians chapter 2, 13 that we looked last week, he has forgiven us all our sins. Now, that's important, not forget that as you study this thing about who God is and what he's doing. Now, last week I said God deals with us in time. I went through and got a preliminary of that God does not deal in time for himself, for he's from everlasting to everlasting. We cannot understand God in time unless God lets us see something about him in the dimension that he's in the spiritual world. But yet, when God deals with us, he deals with us in time. Now, if you go back to Ecclesiastes with me, chapter 3, you'll find he gives us some information. Or chapter 3, verse 1, 2, down a few verses. You'll find that he gives us some information about this thing of time. He tells us some things as we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And notice he said this in the first few verses. I'm going to paraphrase it real fast like. He says, to every time there's a season, there's a time of, to every purpose under the heavens. And then notice under the heavens will be the time we're talking about, where God has created the heavens, under the heavens where this time is at. And so he said, there's a time for what? Time to be born, a time to plant, a time to pluck, time to which His planning, pick up what He's planning, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, the time to weep, the time to laugh, time to mourn. Goes on, even the time to dance, time to cast away stones, the time to get the stones together, to a time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing, time to get, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, time to rend, and a time to sow. And He goes on, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate. And He goes on, He talks about time. Look in verse 14 with me, if you will, please. And now he's showing in time that everything is in their sequence. But then He tells us something else you need to understand. As Solomon writes, he said, I know, verse 14, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Amen. That ought to be the theme in our mind as you study this Bible all the way through. Now you say, but there's things He did not last forever. I mean, you take for things, there's things that, as far as the law. The law is important, but the law don't curse. I'm glad the law don't last forever to curse those who trust Christ, aren't you? But the law is affected today as much so as it was in God, that He gave it. And so He goes on. He says that it's done forever. And notice He said, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that man should fear before Him. Now, that doesn't mean that God don't give us responsibility. It doesn't mean we don't have to respond to the responsibility and pay the penalty if there's one to be paid, or accept the reward as God gives us when we obey Him. But notice verse 15 along with verse 14 as we talk about time. He said, that which had been is now. Now, you got to read this slowly to understand it. God said to Sodom, that which has been is now. Notice, and He said, that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, it's interesting because what He said in my understanding, breaking down what is, has been, and what has been is God repeating things that already is. So you see, with God, nothing surprises Him. He says you go through cycles. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be off the scene for a long, long time. God don't come back for the church. But you know the next generation is going to face many things like you and I face. In fact, it'd be the same things, except it'd be a different culture that faces it. Sin is sin no matter where it's at. And whatever takes place in this life, and the grace of God and the blood of Christ is the only thing that can take away sin. So no matter what age you live in, we find that this is the thing that people face with. The problems people have in the future will be because of sin. Problems that be until God closes this thing out will be because of sin. Sin, the wages of sin, is death. And then notice He says, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness that iniquity was there. Now here, notice under the sun. That's all has to do with time. Then notice in verse 17, and I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. What I want you to know is this, that God deals with us in time, but time has no effect upon God. Now it tells me since sin entered in, I really believe if Adam and Eve never sinned, we'd never had to worry about time. You know why? Because we've been living forever. Somehow or another, the tree of life would have been the effect of us rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But since Adam did sin in time, now sometimes people ask me years ago, what is time? And I believe with all my heart, time is a measured duration in this life. Because we're dying from the day we're born. And that's in time. Once we get out of time into eternity again, it won't be that way. Now it's interesting enough that I think about how God deals with us in time. Because if you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please turn there, please. I want you to read this with me. Notice what God says through Paul in verse 2. He gets in a hurry in time for us to know that we don't have, much time in this life. Even 50, 60 years go by like a snap of a finger, especially when you get to be 50 or 60 years old. Amen? They're up there. And those who say it looks like a long way, just, hey, if you're 18 to 20 or 25, 30, just wait, it's coming. And when you turn around, you're going to look in the mirror and don't know the fellow that's in there because something has changed. But then you realize, hey, I've just got to catch up. So here, notice, he tells this. He said, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Isn't that wonderful? God says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Watch. And then he says, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That is, he says, I've assisted thee in the time of your distress in this world. In the day of salvation, I assisted you. I did something for you. He said, I've secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God sees everything in the present. Please understand this and don't let Satan deceive you. He sees everything in the present. He can take something that might happen 1,000 years from now and show it as if it's already happened. Because he's not in time. He's always present tense. God does not have to wait to the end of the year to balance out his business like we do. John chapter 16, turn there with me, please. You'll find that Jesus gives us the assurance of this in John chapter 16 and down about verse 33. He's been given the threefold spirit of the inward working of the Spirit in one's heart here when he comes. Holy Spirit hadn't even come now as he talks about what is happening. And here he says in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, notice where it's at again. It's not in the apostles. It's not in the 12 tribes. It's not in the other religious groups. It's not in the religious groups of our day. Jesus said, it's in me. Watch this. Things I've spoken in you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. I'm glad you said that, aren't you? I hate to be having to think I didn't have to have it. He said it's coming. And if you're saved, it's coming more and more for you than ever. So keep in mind, just be glad that you can say when things come, it's past because you did the right thing at the right time. And so here he goes on and said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Why could you be of good cheer when you're in the midst of your trouble? He says, I have. Watch, past tense. I have already overcome. Isn't that amazing? Now, we know the victory is at Calvary. He's not gone to Calvary yet. As a matter of fact, he's right before going to Calvary, but yet Calvary's in the future. And he says, already now, I have overcome the world. You know why? Because in God's mind, it already happened. He's not like us. We say, I will do something and may not do it. Because we are not like God in the sense of being 100% correct all the time. Thank God we're in the image of God. But what I'm telling you is the fact that Jesus said, I've already come. You don't have to worry about it. When you trust me, you're going to have what I said you're going to have. Because I've had the victory. And I love that as I look at it. So God knows everything in advance for you and me. God does not have to live in days and nights and years and months like we do in this life. He says in 2 Peter 3:8, 1,000 years is like one day. And one day is like 1,000 years. That's a pretty good way to explain his existence, isn't it? He's not divided up in time like we are at this time. I mean, you find Peter quoted, 2 Peter 3 quoted Psalms 90, verse 4, the prior Moses, when he actually made this statement about 1,000 years being one day and one day 1,000 years. You know what? God lives in another dimension where time does not count like it does here. Isn't it an amazing thing? Listen to me, folks. Please listen to me. You go back and you look in Exodus, places where the Passover took place. When you get to the Passover in the Old Testament, what God did for Israel and what God did for sin was at the Passover. You get to the New Testament and you know what Calvary is? It's our Passover. Calvary is our Passover that you and I have been born into the family of God. You go back to the Old Testament, Sinai, and you see on the day of Pentecost, God gave the law about what would happen on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day. But when we get to New Testament, Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost. It's not that we're receiving just what God did and said in the Old Testament. On the day of Pentecost, God sent a barrage of tongues before the Holy Spirit came down in that chapter, settled on some people. They began to talk in the language they understood, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came to this earth. You know why? Because God promised him, and he said, he's not just going to come to dwell with you, he's going to come and dwell in you. Amen. That's the down payment for salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to know what he's done is real and it's not fickle. If you get it, you've got it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't play that you have it. You've got to have it. And you can only verify that in according to God's holy word. And thank God when you understand what he says about us and know there's a day you ask Christ to come into your heart and settle that thing for the glory of God. So God knows everything in advance about you and I. God lives in another dimension where time does not count. Now, God is the only one who lives always, and I said this last week in the present perfect tense. We live in time. We do not know the present in the sense we can go through it, and when we go through it, that it stands still. It doesn't stand still for us. We've already passed. We have only the past, and we only have the future. A perfect present tense does not exist for us in time. And I said last week, and I'll say again, when I say to you that I'm in the present, because time is moving, duration, I might say to you I'm in the present and die before I say the Son. One heartbeat. Come on now. You have to understand, if you don't get this, you won't never see who God really is. God does not have to deal in time. He's from everlasting. But God, thank God, he deals in time because his image fell. And he set up a time, a beginning for us. And one day he set up a time that when we'll go back into eternity with him and have a glorified body that's built for eternity, amen, not just for time. And I thank God to see that in our lives. And so God lives in another dimension. God is the only one who lives in this present time. Now, when I say again, I say present, it's already past. When I say present, I said last week, time I say sent, present is already, pre is already past. Because it's already, sent God in the future, and the pre is the past, even though it's in broken down into sentences as far as the language is concerned. In order for me to have a perfect present tense, we would have to have time stop. There's a time when God called the sun to stand still. Time stopped. What was it? You remember? Half a day? A day? It was a period of time anyhow, wasn't it? When you see that, it's interesting. In order for us to have this perfect tense, we need to have stopped time. In the dimension that we live in, we cannot do this at all. So the present is the prerogative of God only today. And had not it sent into the world, we'd understand that. Now that helps me get to the last point, which we'll pick up, get part of today next week. And that's in this part five, is what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Turn there with me, please, and you'll see this. And by the way, John chapter 8, I said one time I was just going to take and the last three verses, but then I got looking at it, and I said, wait a minute, I need to understand. If I'm going to understand these last three verses Jesus said, I need to understand what he said beforehand. And so I'm going to go back and quickly paraphrase a little bit. As you go through, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here as he talks. He is leading up to something to them. And what he says, listen to me, folks, what he says about these Pharisees ought to be something that we ought to look at our day and understand. What God says about these Pharisees, he says to others who are not saved so they won't be tricked in thinking they are saved and end up finding they're not. There are some things that follows you and I in our life which in turn will bring about a lifestyle, not just maybe two or three events in our life. Watch, if you will. He said, he goes down in verse 24. First of all, he says that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. And then he goes on, and they said, who art thou? I mean, Jesus said unto them, even the same that I am, that I said unto you that from the beginning. I many things said to you and judge you, but he said, he that sent me is true, and I speak of the world. Those things which I have heard of him, talking about God, they understood not what he spake to them of the Father. Isn't it interesting? What he said was true, they didn't understand it. Folks, did you know you walk to an unsaved person and try to talk anything about this book, and they may tell you what they've heard and believe, but you can find for long where they really know what the Bible has to say. Just because someone says the Bible said something, it don't mean it said something. That's it, that you can see that the Bible did say it. Amen? So these people said, wait a minute, they didn't understand a word he said. Then said Jesus, when you have lifted me, the Son of Man, up, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but my Father has taught me. And these things, we know what that means, he lifted him up on the cross. But at the same time, what he's saying, if he'd say that, we know he lifted him up. Now, he says to my heart now, when the Holy Spirit came, and it did come, and he indwells you, and you have the Word of God here revealed to you, if you spend time and want to know it and get it in systematic order, you'll see the reality of what God's done for you in a dimension that you can't see otherwise. This flesh will deceive us, folks. That's all there is to it. Watch what he said. And he said, when you have lifted up, then he said, he that sent me is with me, and the Father had not left me alone, for I do always the thing that please him. Now, I like verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, why did the scripture say that? As Jesus was teaching, a multitude of people believed on him. But isn't it interesting? Jesus was so concerned about those who believe. And I hit this a few months ago, but it hits to get to verse 58, 59. He said, then Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on him. Now, all of these people that believed on him, Jesus said to them. He's not talking about those in the crowd that did not believe on him. Can you at least say amen to that? Amen. So I know you're with me. I don't want to leave you hanging somewhere or another. He's talking about those who believed, those who said that they believed in Jesus Christ. Watch what he said now. He said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then, he said, are you my disciples indeed. That's truly certain, confirmed. What is it, continue my word? That is a constant lifestyle over your life. You continue in your God's word and lifestyle. It won't mean that you won't have some problem laying aside, put aside the flesh at times. You will. You won't never get rid of this flesh to the day you die or to the rapture takes place. And so what you're going to find is that he's setting aside these things, but he says here at this time, if a life has not changed, has not been reconciled, it goes on a lifestyle, then he said, there's something wrong. You cannot be my disciple that way, but you're my disciple indeed if you begin to see that life change. And I showed that. I won't go through the demonstration last week. And then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. They began to throw up. And we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou shall make me, you shall be made free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you don't know if you believe this, you cannot, listen, you cannot free a person that don't want to be free. You try to save a person out in water and they don't think they're drowning, you can't save them. And if you're not careful, they'll drown you. Why? Because you can't free a person that don't want to be free. And that's what God is telling us here. And God, he said, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's a lifestyle. That person who constantly lives a life of sin and never puts off anything is a sign that he's not following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, the servant abideth not in the house forever. He explains verse 34. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth in, notice, forever. Isn't that amazing? Maybe they put aside something, but the son's still in the house if he's truly born again. And that means the daughter too. He's talking about children of God. Now, he goes on. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak, what? I'm having to do this, get hurried to it. He said, I speak, what's this? That which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Oh, there's a bad division there. You think you're believing in God the Father, but I'm the one who is seeking the one to please, and you're seeking to please your Father. Now, you're going to see why they have trouble with this last statement, and that could show you how what I'm talking about in the now. Notice he said, they answered, said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth, which I have heard of God, that this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Uh-oh. Boy, can't you see the blood boiling in those Pharisees who are so religious they're hypocrites and don't know it? Watch. You do the deeds of your father. Then say they, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Throwing off on the birth of Christ. Yeah. Yeah. We know who you, where you came from. You're a legitimate child. Mary. She had a child before you were ever married. They throw it off. See, that's a person who's entangled and don't want to be free, and they're fighting to try to destroy you. You see what I'm saying as a Christian? You have to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus gives us assurance here. Thank God we have John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sin. I'm so glad of that. I'll tell you this, if we're not, I, you, neither one will ever still be saved. We didn't have that promise. But that don't mean our lifestyle is a certain way. That means that we have trouble sometimes making decisions under circumstances in life. Now, I go on and I see here he said, and Jesus said, if God was your father, you loved me, and I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Watch, even because you cannot hear my words. This is true for every human being on earth not saved. They cannot hear the words of God except the call of God to their heart. When that gospel goes out and the Holy Spirit takes that conviction and brings it to an unsaved heart to draw them to the Lamb of God, that's one of the things that I'll be able to hear. Now, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my words. Everything I say about the cross to start with, Satan hinders, and when a person gets by the cross, everything that you say that has to do with growth, Satan tries to hinder that in their life. Now, watch. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my words. Now, when he said that, he said, ye are your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And I tell you the truth, and you won't believe it. Which of you convince me of sin? He said, I say the truth. Then verse 47, watch, folks. Here's the crutch. He that heareth, notice, he that is of God heareth God.
Amen.
Watch, folks. What? He hears God's word. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because ye are not of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's telling us, God is saying, don't let Satan trick you to think that in life something takes place that you're not saved. But if it's a lifestyle, there's something wrong. But an event is something that God shows us all. Because I showed you the other week, we're putting that off. You'll be putting off some things the day you die, just like you learn to put on and put on some things as far as before you, when you were born in this world. Let's quickly go on. He says this. Then when he got verse 51, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sin, he shall never see death. Now, he's talking about those who hear God, obey him. If they don't obey, then he said, if you keep my sin, never see death. And that was the crutch. You mean never see death? Oh, they could see his physical death. They knew everybody died. Oh, they could see his physical death. Isn't that amazing? And notice he said, then said the Jews to him, now we know that thou hast a devil. I mean, Abraham's dead, and the prophets of thou says, if man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. No, he didn't say he'd never taste death. He said he'd never die. He's talking about eternal death here, folks. He's not talking about physical death. And art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, and thou, what makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Isn't it amazing? The Son of God, who's God in the flesh, would say, if I my Father that honor me, I of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. If I should say I know him, I'd be a liar like you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham, watch this now. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Now here's coming the crutch of what's happened the number five. He said, listen, 1900 years before, your father Abraham saw my days, and he saw it, and he was glad. That is, he rejoiced. Now, it's natural, they said. Well, wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old yet. How do you know about seeing Abraham, my father? And Jesus said, and here it is. Jesus said, this is God's name. This is who God told Moses to tell Israel who sent him. Jesus said, notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Boy, that throwed a thing in the fire. I'm telling you, that really burnt them up. And what you see next, then they took up stones to cast at him. He lost himself and hid himself in the crowd in the temple through amidst the people. Exodus 3:14 is what God told Moses to tell Israel. Now, I want to give you a few just a few minutes on this, and we'll come back and finish it up next week. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in our dimension of time, there's people to argue about that. I mean, I've had people write me letters because of my way of English sometimes. I've had people write me because I didn't use present tense things sometimes. Believe me, I've had people try to correct me about the way I preach. But it's like trying to correct Christ. Now, wait a minute. And this would be right according to our culture if you look at our English. Wait a minute, Jesus. You said before Abraham was, you said, before Abraham was, I am. But wait a minute, Jesus. You need to correct your grammar. Because you should have said, before Abraham was, past tense, I was. No, Jesus said, no. Before Abraham was, past tense, I am. He was before that. Now, this should let us understand what I'm talking about in the dimension of God. God letting us see. See, we read over names sometimes and don't dwell much, and this is good to think. But boy, when you get in studying, God lets us look at that dimension of the spiritual world, and we begin to see God has done something so fantastic, the world's deceived about it. You hear somebody say, thank God I'm saved. No, I'm saved. Next thing you know, somebody says, oh, you can't know. Don't tell me you can't know you're saved.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this, the fruit will bear it. One event won't keep you from doing it, but a fruit will bear it. And you'll find that when God speaks to our heart, there are things that the world can't see that we do when we get along with God and pray. And he goes on. And I like what I see here he's talking about. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. You see, religious people today are just like the religious leaders were in Christ's day. Now, Jesus, but wait a minute. Abraham was is past. You have to say, I was. Because if you were back there in the past, then you was. Were you not was? And she said, no, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. This is like Jesus saying, Lord, I come with you always, even to the end of the world. In other words, that's another way that he said, I am. I am. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, we see that. I'm trying to show you some things about knowing you're saved, and if you're really saved, you're saved forever, no matter what one may think. Now, God says in Ephesians chapter 2, but you've got to be sure that you know Jesus is Savior. You've got to be sure in your life. Look in Ephesians with me, chapter. I'm telling you, this is an amazing thing, and I'm fixing to have to close and pick it up next week. I want you to look with me, though. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing. He talks about who we were, quick and dead in trespass and sin. We walked as according, not according, toward the spiritual life. We walked according to this world and so forth. We walked among those, our conversation as a way of life in times past. Verse 3, the lust of the flesh. And, of course, we know it's the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life. We know that. And according to 1 John, writing, epistle. But notice he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. Where we were at in sin, in the depth of sin, God in his rich mercy reached down to lift us out of sin. Now, what is this? What is this putting off through old, putting on new? Let me ask something, ladies and gentlemen. If you never have rode in a car before, and everybody, let's put this way, if you never had driven a car before, and you get in that car, you don't look in the mirror to drive it, do you? Because you're not going reverse. You're going forward. What do you look at? In the windshield. And you can't keep looking in the mirror of your life and picking up things in the old past and go what God wants us to do in the new. He's given us a new windshield to look out. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new eyes. He's given us a new direction. He's given us the dimension he wants us to get into spiritually that one day we'll be there in a glorified body. And that's what this book's about. This book is not just some little religious story told us to make it sound good. This is the Word of God to incite us about what God has done for you and I. Notice, if will, he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. How? With Christ? By grace are you saved. And watch verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Notice the word raise is past tense. And made us sit together in heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. What God is telling us, that he's already raised us. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I hadn't got there yet. But God says, if you're in my son because you have received Christ, and I'll bear witness to your heart about that, then I already see you sitting at the right hand of the Father in my son. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing for you now in your heart. If you have my spirit living in you, then I see you sitting at the right hand of the Father even now, raised up in Christ. Why? Because Christ has been raised. That's shouting time. That's rejoicing. That's the reason you ought to high amen. That's the reason you ought to let a little bit of that so-called, I don't like religion, but so-called Word of God come out. And it'll affect you from the head of your head to the bottom of your feet just about. And so what happens here, he's letting us know that this thing is something that's real. And he said, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to do something. Go back to Romans. Now, I mean this. Wait a minute now, Lord. Let me go back to Ephesians first. I put this way I'd be talking if I was unsaved. Now, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. I know you said raised up and sit together with him and made to sit in heavenly places. But, Lord, don't you think Paul meant that we will be seated sometime in the future with you? No. He means we are seated there now in God's sight. Why? Because he knows whether we have the Spirit of God or not. And one thing I know is this. When physical birth took place, the only way I can get out of here is through the exit of death. And when spiritual birth takes place, the only way I can get out of here, it could be through the exit of death or the rapture of the church. But the destiny of the two is different. And that's what Jesus Christ does as you look at the Word of God. I find this as I go through. I mean you're seated there now in the present tense. Now, I'm going to stop there this morning and finish up next week. But in Romans, this helps me. What I've said already about Jesus saying who he is, that helps me understand in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Ladies and gentlemen, probably one of the most precious verses in the Bible, and yet a lot of folks don't understand it. But next week, I want to go and look at what God said about the foreknowledge of God and what has happened, verse 28, 29, 30 of Romans. Because that fits in line with God's name is the I Am, present perfect tense, to know. And that's the reason I say, and I want to read this to you as I read. I'm not going to do that tonight, this morning, but I want to finish up next week. And I want us to look at what happened. You know, most people in these verses don't have any trouble with the foreknowledge of God, don't have any trouble with the predestination, don't have any trouble, because that's foreknowledge. I won't get into it now, but next week I'm going to guarantee I'm going to bring something to you. It'll be a blessing to you if you want to be blessed. Now, what God is telling us, and I'm going to take this, and this is my last verse of Scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's what God is telling us, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about where I'm talking about now. He's saying, listen, get an understanding to be sure you know Christ is in your heart. Get an understanding so you're not deceived. Get an understanding that this thing in the fact you're saved, maybe if you're saved 20 times and you're lost, maybe the 21st time you get saved again before you get to heaven. You can't find that in Scripture. And that's what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Why, sure, he didn't say it to Rome. He didn't say it to Philippi. He didn't say it to... Ephesus, he said to the church at Corinth. And watch what he said in verse, get this. And by the way, you need to mark this. I marked this many years ago. He said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. How do I do that? Well, God's word's here. Have I met the criteria that God said to meet? Did I mean business? Examine myself. What did I do? What did God say he'd do? Did God do what he said he'd do? I examined myself. Then he said, when you do that, prove your own selves. Then he asked the question. Watch this. Know ye not your own self? Don't you, I put it this way, don't you know yourself? Hey, you know yourself better than anybody else, amen? I faced these verses many years ago in my early Christian life. As I'd go to one side and they say this, another side say, well, I was in a place where the one, I had good friends on both sides. One was Arminian, the other was Five-Point Calvinist, and I was in the middle, just as confused as a bat. I mean, I said, Lord, I can't take this. I promise you one thing. If you let me study these Scriptures, you help me. You give me your Spirit. You help me. I will give the time, and God knows I'm not telling a lie. I told him, sitting in my car, Lord, if you give me the time, I'll study the Scriptures with best I have to give to you. So if you can let me see the truth, I'll do everything to see the truth. It doesn't care how long it takes. And for 55 years, I've been doing that. Nobody's going to shake me on it. I'll love people. I'll love them and try to win them to the Lord. But another thing is this. It's not going to shake me on my salvation. Because if it did, I'd have to quit. And by the way, you would too. Notice what he said. Know ye not that your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. Now, the reprobate, I've said many times, it means a mind that God cannot approve of. If you got a mind that God cannot approve of, then he said, reprobate, it also means perverted. That is, it deals with speculation rather than truth. This book is not speculation, folks. This book is truth. You say, but preacher, there are some things somewhere or another, that in times it just don't sound just right. That's the reason you got to look at it in context. That's the reason you got to let Scripture override with Scripture. That's the reason you got to compare Scripture with Scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to give you a truth that has a lot of Scripture in it and all of a sudden give you something that doesn't sound like that Scripture says, because God's going to see to it Scripture becomes our authority. Satan's going to see to it that we don't understand it. You ever thought about how in the work of those Pharisees growing up like they were in Christ's day? For the nation of Israel, how in the world could they not see who Jesus Christ was? Did you know the people would follow him, but the leaders would not? Because they were looking for him, and the leaders were looking for him, but he had to come like they wanted him to come, not the way he came. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the day and these precious people sit here, your Lord, and listen to this feeble preacher preach. I thank you for that. Dear God, I pray, though, the Holy Spirit of God could convey to them in my poor language the truth of this book. I pray that they see when you look page after page and take in sequence and look before and after verses and see what Jesus was saying. Lord, you have re-enhanced my heart in what Jesus taught, what we read just today and studied for the last few weeks. There's a process here that God gives us assurance. And our Father, that's the reason we encourage people to document the day they got saved. Put down the time. Put down the date. Keep it in the Bible so when it comes around sometime and something happens, maybe to try to shake their faith, they can open the book up again and go to those places and say, "Dear Jesus, this is the day I asked you to do this for me. I'm not just saying that I received you. I'm received you according to the Scripture. This is what you said do in Romans 10:9-10. This is what you said in Romans 6:23. This is what you said in 1 John 5. This is what you said in the Word of God. Will reassure our heart where we're at before you in this wicked world. Lord, I believe if God's people could grasp this, we'd see more doing for God than we are. Maybe sometimes Satan's got us so fickle in our mind, we want to do something and don't do it because we're just afraid that we don't have what we need to do it. Dear Father, if we can see things from your viewpoint, it does things. We are reconciled, Lord. We are changed thoroughly. And when I got saved, I didn't drink. I didn't do a lot of things. And probably when the first couple years of my Christian life, very little changes people saw. I knew there was a change, but very little saw. But then there were some things that I began to put off and put on the new, put off the old and put on the new. Every time that would come, it's something assurance would come to my heart. That's the reason Jesus is there. To help me understand things in a way that don't make us super Christians, but it does make us seek your face. Help someone see that today. Save the soul nearest hell. Lord, I'm glad, as Brother Money said, the people in the churches over there are soft and hearts hard. There's a lot of those kids make professions of faith and the parents won't even let them be baptized. I'm so glad I know that water baptism can't keep them out of heaven if they really trusted you as Savior. And I have no reason they don't. They just need to grow. Help us see we have to come like a child, just a little child, and throw ourselves on the mercy of God's court. Holy Spirit, I pray that you've used this week's vessel to honor Jesus in the last few weeks as we finish up next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.